Hey everyone, it is Michael with Recreate Church. Well, it's another weekend when winter weather means we can't meet live at our location, 105 East Stewart Drive, Hillsville, Virginia, there beside Pizza Hut. So I am joining you from this state-of-the-art sound studio at the Shockley Homestead. It's called My Wife's Car Parked in the Driveway. So hopefully it works. We just want to get the Word of God out every week, even if that means we can't meet in person. With doing outdoor services, snow makes it a little extra tough for us. So I want to talk about something a little different than we have. We're not going to be continuing with the series. Lord willing, we'll do that next time we're together. But I want to give you a heads up, gentlemen. We're only about 2 weeks away from Valentine's Day. And since the world is a bit more complicated than it was a year ago at this time, well, you probably need to plan ahead if you want to make a good impression on the lady in your life. And single dudes, here is a little Valentine's tip for you. If you don't have somebody to send Valentine's gifts to, send your mama or your grandmama some flowers. I think that's a better idea than chasing that girl who might not be interested. Because if she hears how good you are to your mama and your grandmama, she might become interested. Now, don't tell Cupid I told those little secrets. He might find me and wash my mouth out with soap that tastes like those little chalky Valentine's hearts. Seriously, I'm not sure who buys those. They don't taste very good. Valentine's Day is supposed to be all about devotion and unselfish commitment. But like most of what falls under the category of human love, earthly love, well, it has a lot of strings attached. That box of chocolates and that candlelit dinner probably comes with some expectations. I'll leave that to your imagination. Well, actually, no. On second thought, don't be imagining anything like that. We want to keep it completely G-rated today. But even on that purely G-rated level, well, love does seem to come with expectations, doesn't it? If we love someone, we expect that they should treat us well. If we love someone, especially if they claim to love us, we expect them to hold up their end of the bargain. And if they don't, well, that's a problem. If we show love towards someone, whether romantic love or family love or friendship love or any kind of love in this world, and they don't return the love we respect, it's going to be difficult to keep showing that love. Unmet expectations. Those expectations might be something that's clearly defined, or it might be something that is implied because he should just know, shouldn't he, ladies? But we never do. And usually the two parties don't have quite the same understanding of those expectations of love. Human beings, we're wired to go looking for love, sometimes in all the wrong places. And when we don't get that love that we need, we connect with the words of the prophet Freddie. Can anybody find me somebody to love? So we seek loving relationships with other people. We want to love and be loved. That's what we're made for. Now, that's not limited to romantic love. It's true with family, with friends, with anybody you care about and hope they care about you. Unfortunately, human love has strings attached, conditions. And conventional wisdom says there should be some conditions to love. I mean, after all, how can you love someone if they don't show you love in return? How can you love someone who treats you like an enemy? Common sense says there are limits, strings, conditions. But then Jesus comes along and he sets the example of loving people without limits. He cut the strings off love. He loved people unconditionally and called his followers to do the same. Jesus said in John 13:35, one of the best verses you'll find in the New Testament, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Now we read that pretty quickly and we think to ourselves, "Oh, good deal. I already love people. Sounds like I'm good to go. Everybody will know that I love Jesus because I love people." But we need to understand Jesus wasn't talking about normal love. There's a big difference between the common love and the love that Jesus teaches. It isn't normal love that defines us as a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor." But loving your neighbor when he or she is being lovable is not a Christian virtue. You don't need Jesus in your life to love people who are being lovable or love people who are loving you back. But when you show love to people with no expectation, with no strings attached, with no conditions, when you love people when they're being downright unlovable, hey, that's when you're breaking through to the kind of love that Jesus taught. This is love without strings attached. We read what Jesus said about love. It immediately becomes clear that this love is something special, something different. I'm going to read to you something Jesus said about love out of a very plain spoken translation. This is Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. This is New Living Translation. You got a translation you prefer? Pull that out and read that instead. It goes like this. This is Jesus speaking in the scriptures. But to you who are willing, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much too. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend to other sinners for full return. And when he's saying sinners here, it's not just the mean, nasty, terrible people, the worst person you can imagine. It's just saying, hey, someone who doesn't claim anything spiritual, no, they do that. It continues, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend without expecting to be returned. Then your reward in heaven will be great. And you'll be truly acting as the children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Ooh, wow. Any of that sound difficult? Maybe impossible? I've got to agree with you there. This is so much more than the human expression of love. You can't fully love like that without the life of Jesus living in you. Now, just to be clear here, when I say love in this context, it's not just talking about a romantic relationship. You know, love your enemy is not like, hey, send them flowers and try to woo them. No, this is about wanting what is best for another person, wishing good on them, you know, being an active blessing to them if you can. That's what love means here. Some of this stuff Jesus says sounds completely counterintuitive. Yeah. He talks about loving people who treat you like an enemy, doing kind things for people who hate you, wishing good things for people who wish bad things for you, praying sincerely for people who abuse you. That's a million miles beyond normal love. And the reaction the most sensible people are going to have to that is, well, it doesn't make sense to love people who treat me badly. And let's just be honest, some of you know very much what it is like to be in an abusive relationship. Let me be clear about this. Neither God nor I expect you to stick around and get beat up or get mentally and emotionally ripped to shreds. That isn't love. But Jesus isn't talking about being in a relationship with people here. He's talking about how we treat people relative to how they treat us. The wisdom of the world says there should be at least one string attached to love. We should love people if they love us back. We say stuff like, well, I'm good. If people are good to me, I'll be good to them. Okay, that makes sense. True enough. But if you aren't even good to the people who are good to you, man, you got some serious issues. You know, there's no doubt that we should be good to the people who are good to us. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Everybody believes in that. That's not a uniquely Christian value. You don't need Jesus in your life to love people who love you back. That's not anything special. People who don't claim to know anything about Jesus already do that. In other words, you definitely should be good to people who are good to you. But understand, that's not this big deal. That's not some big virtue. That's a very low threshold of human decency. If someone isn't even good to those who are good to them, ugh, yikes, man. They're going to be lonely. Jesus also talks about the famous concept of turning the other cheek. A lot of people don't even know that's out of the Bible. Jesus said that first. But the way Jesus talks about it certainly goes beyond our cultural understanding of turning the other cheek. Most of the time when someone says to turn the other cheek, it means, you know, let it go and don't retaliate. Turn the other cheek, don't retaliate. But that's not what Jesus meant. That stops short of what Jesus meant. Some people would say, well, turn the other cheek, that sounds like being a doormat. Well, that doesn't really fit Jesus's intent either. This wasn't about being a pacifist or putting yourself in a dangerous position, putting others in a dangerous position. And it wasn't about government defense policies on a national level. This was about being a different kind of person, a kind of person you can't be without the help of the Holy Spirit. This is a life that is less about demanding your rights and defending your honor, and more about living out the values of forgiveness and peace. Jesus certainly modeled that. Think about it. During his arrest and his trial and his murder, which was all on false pretenses, he could have instantly called down legions of angels, tens of thousands of angels, and obliterated the people who were being terrible to him. And he would have been perfectly justified in doing so because he was completely innocent, number one, and he was God and he had the power and the authority to do so. That's number two. But he was patient. He was merciful. He was aiming at higher goals than simply settling a score. Turning the other cheek is refusing to be like the people who hurt you. It's making things right, not by hitting them back, but by showing how a person should act. It's not really about, get this, it's an interesting concept. It's not really turning the other cheek when you have no ability to retaliate. Turning the other cheek means you could hurt them back, but you choose not to. I don't think I quite appreciated what this really meant until a few years ago. You know, I had a very real opportunity to turn the other cheek. I had some folks who publicly took a side against me and my family. That was tough. That hurt. That hurt in ways I never expected. And I could have returned fire, so to speak. I had plenty of ammo. I don't mean the literal kind. I mean, I could have said some ugly things back. Looking back, though, I'm so very, very glad that in that moment I chose to trust God, to trust that He would make things right instead of being my own avenger. That way people knew that I was never part of that ugliness. I didn't want to be part of that ugliness. I wanted to be part of moving forward. Jesus goes on and he talks more about about loving people who cheat you and steal from you. Now, normally, no one would be expected to love those kinds of people. In this world, you can still be considered a good, decent, loving, moral person, even if you hate those who rip you off. After all, what are they doing ripping you off? You know, we would expect people to not love those who hurt them or take from them or abuse them. You know, that's normal love. But then Jesus isn't calling us to a normal life, is he? Most of the time, we don't even realize that there's strings attached to our love. We don't recognize that our love is conditional. But then, if we only love people so long as they treat us decently, isn't that a condition? If we only love people so long as they don't smack us in the face and steal our jacket, that is a string attached. I mean, can we really claim to love people like Jesus said love if it depends on their behavior? Hey, I know these are tough things. You got to be scratching your head right now. Like, dude, come on. What are you saying? You know, being good to people and blessing them and wanting the best for them? In other words, loving them when they do the opposite of loving you? That's not normal. Man, that's not normal. And from the outside, well, frankly, it seems kind of cuckoo. It's definitely not something that comes naturally. And that's kind of the point. You can't love like this without Jesus in your life. Normal love wouldn't work as an evidence that you really know Jesus. Being good to people who are good to you isn't some big Christian virtue. Even people who think Jesus is a joke try to love those who love them. If you aren't even good to the people who are good to you, man, you got problems. When Jesus said, people will know you are my followers because of your love, he's not talking about normal love. He's talking about this rare, unbelievable, unconditional love. Love without strings attached. You can't love like that unless the power of Jesus is in you. That kind of love identifies us with Jesus because that's how Jesus loves us. He loves you and me even when we've blown it. Even when we're being downright unlovable and nasty. You have anybody in your life who's difficult to love? Hey, don't look at it. If you're watching this with other people, don't like elbow them and say, hey, you're the difficult one. Don't look, you know, don't give them an awkward glance. Don't name any names in the comments of this message. If you got someone who's difficult to love, great news. You have the opportunity to grow in your ability to love unconditionally. If someone is being unlovable, it does mean this is a chance to demonstrate unconditional love. Doesn't sound like a prize, I know. But honestly, if we can only love people who behave lovingly toward us all the time, eventually we won't have anybody to love. Even the best people in your life, the ones you're normally thankful to God for, sometimes they're going to be unlovable. And then there are other people who are in your life who are going to be unlovable just about all the time. And yet God calls us to love them too. To want what's best for them. To pray for them. To do what you can to be good to them, even if they're not good for you, good to you. Now, I know this isn't an easy thing, especially if you know what it's like to truly be mistreated. And let me emphasize this again. Love that Jesus teaches isn't about putting yourself back in a position to be abused or anything like that. This is more about learning to care about people you have every reason to hate. The people who you know, if you ever learn to love them, it would be an undeniable miracle because you couldn't love them naturally. It takes a miracle to cut the strings off of love. It takes a miracle to love unconditionally. You can't do that without Jesus. But good news, it can happen. The way you feel towards that person who's been so bad to you or someone you care about, that can change. You know, that poison can be extracted from your soul. Jesus can do that. His love for us has no strings attached, and he can teach us to love that way. You can be free of that ugly stuff that is in your heart because of the people who have hurt you and mistreated you. You can be free of that. So let's pray right now and ask God to give us the grace to love those unlovable people. Let's ask him to help us cut the strings off our love. Heavenly Father, we all have people in our lives who are difficult to love. And some of the folks listening to this know what it's like to be truly mistreated and even abused and have every reason to hate some people and not love them. We know that if we ever change the way we feel about them, it will be a miracle from you. So we pray that you'll show your power in our lives. First of all, Lord, give us the desire to want to feel differently. Not necessarily to get back in a relationship with them or anything like that. But I pray that you will first make us want to let go of the bitterness and the hurt. That we want to get the poison out of our own hearts. Lord, give us the power that can only come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you guys, so glad to have you with me, you know, right here in this car, in this little makeshift studio. Lord willing, we'll be back live next week, so long as the winter weather doesn't get us again. It's so much fun to be outside and doing ministry outside, even through the winter. I get to tell my future grandkids about this someday, and it's just so, I'm so glad that you're a part of this. We have people all over the world who are involved with Recreate Church through the podcast, through YouTube, and of course, a lot of people who come and participate locally. I want to emphasize again that we're starting virtual small groups soon, and if you want to know more about that, you can email us at recreate.worldwide@gmail.com. God bless you guys. Hope to see you soon.